It's from the book of Acts, chapter 17, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 9. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are still defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they put Jason and the others in bail and let them go. And our second reading is from John. If you want to go back a bit to John chapter 3, and we'll be reading from verses 16 to 18. And that's in your Pew Bibles 1066. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Amen.
Now, in that reading that we had earlier that Chris read for us, we saw that the disciples were traveling around sort of the Mediterranean and they'd come to a particular place and they got into a bit of trouble. They often did. There were people who didn't want the upset of having to follow the Lord. And so they made a complaint against them. And the complaint was that they were saying that there's another king, one called Jesus. Another king, one called Jesus. Now, you see, Caesar was king in those days. He was king over really most of the Mediterranean world, the known world then. And he said that he was the most important person in the whole empire and so on. But these people, these disciples, these followers of Jesus were saying, there's another king called Jesus. He's more important. And we've all got to reckon with him. He is really the one who is to be boss of all of our lives. And we've got to pay attention to him. Now, maybe some of us dream about being the boss. So here we are. If you were boss of your school and you had one thing that you could do this week, what would you do?
Just close it down.
That's it. Gone. Absolutely. Okay. Good answer. Okay. Yes, moving quickly on. And maybe if you were boss of the whole world, well, there's all sorts of things you could do. What if you were boss of your family? I'm not going to ask you. If you were boss of your family, what would you do? But, you know, if you were the boss, there's all sorts of things that you could do. And you think, if I was the boss of the world, I'd sort a few things out. Well, the Bible tells us that because, just as Matthew was saying, because God has made everything, he is the boss. And so he does make the rules. But the trouble is, we do not like being those who have to follow the rules. You know what it's like whenever you see a little sign that says, "Don't walk on the grass." You just want to walk on the grass, don't you? Or you say, "Wet paint, don't touch." You just want to go and say, "Wonder how wet it really is, and would it be really sticky?" And all of those sorts of things. Because we just don't like obeying the rules. That's what's in us as people. So that's part of our problem. Now, here we see that what happens, even though God is the king, we say no to God as the king. Okay, so I think that's our next slide. You see, God is the king over all the world, But actually, we want to be our own bosses. We want to have a crown for ourselves. Even though God is a good king, we don't want him to be our king. And so we become our own bosses. And whenever we do that, that's really what the Bible calls sin. Now, sometimes we think that sin is just the bad things that we do, you know, just whenever we're lying or we're stealing something or something like that, or we're really hating somebody. And those things are sins, but actually sin's a little bit bigger than that. We sometimes have a little thing that we say here at Hill Street that's sort of helpful for us, and there's some actions that go along with it. I wonder, can we do them? So, okay, here we are. So sin is the bad things, let's try that, the bad things, thumbs down, the bad things that we think, point to your brain, we say, mouth, and we do, hands. It is the good things that we don't do. It's saying no to God and going our way instead of his. Right, let's try that again. Okay, so sin is the bad things we think and say and do. It's the good things that we don't do. It's saying no to God and going our way instead of his. So you can see sin's bigger than we think sometimes. It's not just the bad things that we think and say and do. It's the good things that we don't do. And it's really basically saying to God, God, I want to be boss of my own life. Don't want to follow you. I want to be boss of my own life. And sometimes we can look really good whenever we're saying that. We can be very respectable, but we're just saying, I'm the boss of me. Sometimes we can look pretty chaotic and we can be a mess, but we're just still saying the same thing. I'm the boss of me. It's the saying no to God and going our way rather than his. And you know what? Whenever we do that, sin makes a huge mess of things. It ruins our world. It hurts us. It hurts other people. And that's really, really sad. So all of those things that are sad in our world, some awful things that we hear in our world, some terrible things that sometimes we experience, those are things that all come back to choosing our own way rather than God's. Now, Matthew sort of said this earlier on, but do you know what? If you made something, if you made some Lego, and imagine you made a Lego city and you had those little figures. You know the little figures? They're so expensive. And one day you walked into your bedroom where you had all of this set up on the table, and your Lego figures turned round to you. They just came alive and they turned round to you and said, we don't want to be here anymore. We want to run our own city. Just you clear out of your bedroom here, please. Okay? What would you do? Would you be cross? Yeah, I would be cross. Do you know what I would do? I would just take them all apart. You know? But so, because if we made it, we think, well, they can't really say that to me. And actually, God won't let us just carry on saying no to him forever. And so that's our next slide, I think. It is that whenever we say no to God, God will say, well, actually, you can't say no to me forever. There are consequences to that because God is the only true king and he can't let us pretend that we're kings forever. He won't let us continue to say no to him, pretending to be our own king rather than him. And one day, God is going to bring together a most amazing, perfect kingdom. We're not there yet, we know that. But he's going to bring together the most amazing, perfect kingdom, and he's going to close out of his kingdom everything that is against him. And if we're against him, that means that we won't be part of that kingdom. And so we cannot keep on saying no to God and hoping that we will get away with it. So saying no to God as our king means that we're in trouble with him. He is still the king, whether we say no to him or not, and he won't let people ignore his rule forever. Now, there is good news, because God is also a merciful king, and he has made a way for things to change. God won't let us try to be kings of our own lives forever, so we are in trouble with him. But we've been singing about God's mercy. Our sins there are many, but his mercy is more, and God has made a way for things to change. And this is the other part of the story that's so important that we know. Because of his love, God sent Jesus into our world. Chris read it for us earlier. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What good news. God did something to rescue us from the trouble that we are in, that we deserve. Many years ago, he sent the Lord into this world. And you think how different Jesus is from us. He didn't say no to God, ever. He always did what God wanted him to do, did what his Father wanted him to do. And he didn't deserve, therefore, to be punished like the rest of us, but he was punished. He went to the cross. And because of that, what he has done can completely change our lives. We can be forgiven. So imagine at school, your school had a whole new set of renovations done. And as part of the new renovation, there was a great big entrance hall, and there was a fantastic big glass window at the front with the crest of the school on it. It was designed by Thomas. And so it was going to stand for 100 years, without question. And so it was there. And somebody kicked a football at it. It wasn't maybe just designed exactly the way it was supposed to be designed. And it broke. There was a big crack down it. And it all had to be rebuilt. And the headmaster got everybody into the school assembly hall and said, right, who broke this window? Nobody would own up. Nobody would know. He says, right, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to this school. And you're all going to be like detention for ages, no games or you know, bread for lunch and nothing else. And just, it's going to be terrible. And somebody said, well, look, it wasn't me, but I'll pay for it. And they walked forward, and they were the ones that paid for it. And all of those punishments, in a sense, went on him, and everybody else got off free. It's something a bit like that. It's not really that, but something a little bit like that happened with Jesus. He didn't deserve to go to the cross, but he did, and he did because by doing that, we get to go free. We can be forgiven for saying no to God. We can be welcomed into God's wonderful kingdom as his friends. And that's not the end of it. Then God brought Jesus back to life again, because Jesus died on the cross, of course. He brought him back to life again and made him king of everything. And he went back to heaven to be with God, and God made him king of all the world. So one day, Jesus will come back, and everybody will know then that he is the true king. He will close out everyone who has ignored him and welcome those who have followed him into his kingdom forever. So Jesus really is king, and one day everyone will realize it. So there's just a little outline of what the big story of our world really is. It's the Christian story, the gospel story. We're in trouble with God because we've ignored him, but God has sent Jesus, and if we will make him our king, then we will be forgiven. So what that means is, there are two ways to live. There are two ways to live. We can either live like the little guy with the red X under him who's saying, I want to be my own king, or we can have Jesus as our king and know God's blessing. Because Jesus died for you, God promises that you will never be punished for your sin, and he will make you one of God's family. You can live with Jesus as your king, and you can look forward to being with him forever. It seems like a really obvious choice, as we would say, a sort of a no-brainer. And yet, people know this choice, they face this choice, and they choose wrongly. They keep on trying to run their own lives and be king of their own selves. But this morning, boys, mums and dads too, I want you to ask yourself, who is king of my life? And how's it going? Because if it's not Jesus, ultimately, it won't go well. It might seem as if it goes well for a little while, but it won't go well. And then, could we make Jesus our king? Could we make Jesus our king? Many people here have done that. We heard from Thomas about your BB leaders, and we're so grateful that they have. What everything changes when when we do that. There's a little prayer. You might wonder, well, how would I do that? What would I have to say to God? You know, in a sense, the words are not sort of particularly magic, or there's nothing that we must say like this, but something like this. Let's put it up. It says, "Dear God, dear God, I'm sorry that I haven't treated you as my king. I'm sorry that I've said no to you by not doing what you say. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross and take away my punishment. Thank you that he is the living king of everything and everyone. Please forgive me and help me to live with Jesus as my king from now on." You know, mums and dads, I sat this week with two guys, both probably in their 40s, who for years just thought nothing about church, thought nothing about God, and recently have become Christians. We do sense, and some of the statistics are proving it, that God is doing things amongst people of our generation. He's stirring up an interest in him. People who would have thought, oh, that's not for me, suddenly God is coming to them and helping them to realize that he is there and he wants them on his side. So this is not just a children's prayer. It's a prayer for anyone who wants to know Jesus as king.